We're going to just look at a couple of verses in 2 Corinthians. And I've been asked to kind of divide it up with a little bit of some thoughts from the Word, as well as a little update on what we're doing. And so I'd just like to look at 2 Corinthians 4, this very familiar verse probably to many of you, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. In the ESV it says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." And that little verse is loaded with thoughts, but we're going to start there and think about this idea that we have a treasure. We have something of infinite worth that we get to, that we possess, and we get to carry, and we get to disseminate that to the world. And all of us find ourselves, you know, you in your small corner and I in mine, especially these days, right? And we all have this, as Paul describes it, a treasure. And that is Christ himself and the salvation that he has revealed to us and accomplished in us, that is of infinite worth. But there's two main ideas in this verse, right? There's this idea of it's a treasure of infinite worth, but it's also being contained in a jar of clay. Something, you know, you think of a clay vessel, probably very common in those days. Just something, you know, sitting on the shelf, nothing particularly special about this. Maybe it's got a few cracks in it. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's been used for things that, you know, are just run of the mill. Maybe it's a bit dirty. There's this idea that we have this wonderful treasure, but it's contained in a jar of clay. Well, we are that jar of clay. We are just this simple vessel. And Paul also talks about this in Ephesians 3:8. Don't turn there. But he was talking about himself, and the same idea is brought out in Ephesians 3:8. He says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." And so you see the same idea that he was bringing there. Paul says, "I am the least of all saints. I am like the jar of clay. I'm this little, you know, insignificant thing." But the treasure that he was given, and he kind of explains that, is the unfathomable riches of Christ. And, you know, God, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen this way to disseminate this wonderful treasure, to put it into just these simple earthen vessels, us humans who are broken, us who have, you know, many flaws, and yet that great responsibility and great privilege he's decided to disseminate it in that way. We're going to come back to this verse and in chapter 4, verse 7. But just to go back in a couple chapters to chapter 2, you can flip back there to verse 14. We can kind of see where Paul was going with all of this. How he got to this point. Let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 down to 16. It says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." So Paul is going to make a picture here of what we are, the privilege that we have of sharing the gospel to those around us. And he's going to use the picture of an aroma, a smell, a, you know, something that is floating out there, emanating around us. And he says, he manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. So God wants to communicate this treasure, this message to those around us. And he has chosen to do that through us. And we are a fragrance, it says in verse 15, we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? There's that jar of clay motif again. Paul admits, he says, who's adequate for this? That's immediately what I think of is like, this is, we have this treasure and it's ours to disseminate, but how can I do that? I'm inadequate for that. And it's interesting how he talks about this is, you know, it's not really up to us what happens with the treasure, but it's ours. We are to emit this aroma to those around, and they will see it as the Spirit lives in us. They will see that. And some people will be repelled by that, and some people will be drawn to that. And it's just our responsibility to disseminate it, to emit this aroma around us. And it's up to the Lord how that's going to, what's going to happen from that. He is the one who brings the increase. So we have a great treasure that is of infinite worth, and it can actually bring life to people. That is how awesome the gospel message is. That's why it's a treasure. It brings life. It's an aroma that can actually bring people to spiritual life. So, I mean, there's nothing like that, right? As we recognize our sin and the separation that we have and the spiritual death that people are going to experience or are experiencing in their day-to-day relationships, this gospel message is one that can give life through the Spirit. So we have this great treasure that's of infinite worth, and it can bring life to the dead. But we also have this other truth that we know equally well, that we are just jars of clay. We're fragile, or the least of all saints. We could lump ourselves in with Paul pretty easily. I'm sure we can all, you know, admit that we are also the least of all saints. And, you know, it's not fitting to put a treasure in a jar of clay, is it? It doesn't match our thoughts. If you had some beautiful treasure and you stuck it on, you know, this thing that you want to, you know, center of interest of your living room, you want to put it out there for display, and you just stick it in a cardboard box up there on the mantle or something like that, it doesn't seem to make any sense at all, does it? So that's kind of a downer for us all as we think about our inadequacy. And that seems to be Paul's lament. You know, who is adequate for these things? But he doesn't stop there, and he goes on to chapter 3. So let's go on to chapter 3. Who is adequate for these things is the question that's lingering in our minds. And let's read from verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need as some letters of commendation to you or from you? You are a letter written in our hearts. He's talking to the Corinthian church there. Known and read by all men. Being manifest that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So Paul is defending himself here, that we're not going to really get into that, but the Corinthian church is an evidence of how Christ has worked through him. And then he says in verse 4, and such confidence we have through Christ toward God. It says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Skip down to verse 12. He says, having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Isn't that interesting that, you know, he understands there's nothing special about himself. He's the least of all saints. He recognizes that he has a great treasure, but it's just in a jar of clay. But he does, it doesn't stop him. It doesn't keep him at home. It doesn't keep him, I better not open my mouth. No, he recognizes that God has equipped him through the power of the Holy Spirit to have a boldness to proclaim it. Not because that there's anything special about himself, but God has enabled all of us and has also given us that responsibility and empowered us to do it so that, you know, we have the treasure. There's nothing particularly special about us, but somehow miraculously, by the power of the Spirit, we have this empowering ability to be able to boldly proclaim it. And what an awesome privilege that is for all of us as we look around to our neighbors beside us, our coworkers, our family members who are not believers. We have been given a treasure that is of infinite worth. It. He's given us opportunities. And we don't have to come up with the message. It's not like we have to contrive some sort of help for people. It's the message has been given to us, and we are just have the opportunities to share, and he gives us the power. Not that we're anything special, and that we can remind ourselves of that, but not just a, oh, woe is me, I can't do anything for Christ. No, he's empowered us to go and do it. And so as we, you know, we've come full circle, now we get back to chapter 4. We have been made adequate by the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives the power to proclaim the message. And as we get back to chapter 4, we read that verse again. We have this treasure in jars of clay. And why? Why does God do it this way? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It's not for our glory. I mean, that's the whole point. We are, there's nothing special. And he didn't make us witty and clever and good looking or whatever it is. He's given us a wonderful message, kind of in a cardboard box, but given us the opportunity and the power to be able to share that. And so, you know, that's a good reminder for us. If you're discouraged about sharing your faith, remind yourself of the treasure that it is. It's something that can give life. It's a message of life. The vilest sinner can be made clean. If you're down on yourself because you recognize the jar of clay part pretty easily, you know, that's a good place to start in recognizing that it's not about us, but also recognize that that's our adequacy comes from God, and he has given us that responsibility and privilege. So that's just some thoughts there. It kind of leads into where, you know, it's something very much that I remind myself of, and it's, I don't actually have to, I can easily recognize the challenge of being just a jar of clay. There's lots of opportunities to recognize that, but I have to remind myself that our adequacy comes from the Lord, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.